on the series Life right now, and my message title is kind of a funny one. If you've been in church, it's something that you probably understand. But I named it 70 times 7, and I started to name it 50 times 5 because it was 5 degrees this morning. But we'll leave it at 70 times 7. And what was your last response the last time somebody hurt you? You went straight smiling and laughing, and now we're trying to remember who hurt us the last. It don't take much, right? I mean, I have, we went riding with my mom and dad and Red and Brenda one time, and we got down in Florida, and we are sitting in between two three-lane highways. They come to a stop, and hardly cannot sit there and idle all that time. So we do what all smart people do. We just pulled off the road. Now, mind you, we had to get something out of the back of the saddlebag in case somebody come up and started acting stupid. But, I mean, we're all standing there just jaw-jacking, right? That's Oklahoma for talk. Anyways, we're jaw-jacking just a little bit, and this guy comes by, and he's like, "Hey!" I'm like, I don't even know if I should look over there because I'm already just a little bit skittish because we're sitting out in the middle. We don't have any. I mean, they could have just run over us. Look over, and it's this guy, and he's like, "Hey, do y'all know Teresa Bell, Raider? You're kidding me right now. You just named somebody that lives in Rushville, and we're down here in the middle, down by the Keys, and you're just happen to drive by and holler at three bikes in the median and ask me if I knew somebody right down the road here." It's a small world. But it's just like when somebody, you can't get away from it. You can't get away from that white elephant. I mean, we couldn't even get away from the people that knew us, and we was trying to go down there and have a good time. "Yes, how are you?" And he wanted to carry on conversation, so I just walked out in the median and right with the cars. I mean, I am from Oklahoma. We do talk a little bit. But what was your response? Retaliate? No. I know y'all wouldn't do that. There's a lot of little Jesuses in here, and I know y'all have the right attitude all the time. And you never do anything bad. Did you get that grit talk? Grit talked? "I'm telling you what, when I get a hold of you, I'm going to rip your eyes out." Or maybe you don't do anything. But instead, see, back in my younger days, I did this. Instead, you put an X on them, and then the bitterness starts creeping in, and it starts latching onto your heart. "I wouldn't even help you if you was on fire." You know the cuss book. That bitterness just creep in there, and you're like, I wouldn't even go to their funeral. Anybody? Am I the only one that had problems with that through the years? I mean, I'm trying to be honest here. You're in a big group. They can't see your eyes, and I can't see past about the third row. So you're good. But if that's you this morning, you have no idea what kind of damage it will do to your life if it's not dealt with. Now, how many of you could go take that person that you have a hard time with, right? I know it's in your mind. You've already got it. You already wrote that dude down. You ones that take notes. I mean, you have decided just to put their first name. That way nobody knows who you're talking about, right? Back there. So, it can ruin you. It can rot your bones. Somebody's like, "Preach, could you preach on something else today? I mean, it's 5 degrees outside." But failure to forgive is a crippling form of self-punishment. a destructive distraction in your life as a believer. Now, how many of you realize that you got a little God symbol on your back when you're walking around town? When you wear the t-shirt, when you say you're excited about what Crosspoint does, when you say you're a part of this, and then one day you forget and you're in a restaurant and the waiter doesn't wait like she should. Or nothing, I'll leave a pen. Quick. I mean, I'm just going to give her a dollar. Church people's pretty mean. Do you know the devil, demon? Do you know? Reach up. People hurt. Because we know if somebody hurt you or somebody's doing something or maybe somebody got in trouble for something, it's not that person. They're being used by Satan. And we have a hard time seeing that. We take it personal. We move it right into the inside of us, right? And it becomes a distraction. Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul writes, be kind to one another. Can y'all say that word, kind? Well, some of you can. How about tender-hearted? Now, preach, we're bikers. We're not tender-hearted. Well, yeah, some of you are. How about forgiving each other? Well, preach, I did that once. And how many times do you got to turn your cheek? I mean, somebody asked me, after they punched somebody out inside their truck on their property, they crawled in the truck and wore them out. And they called me and said, preach, I have turned my cheek many times. How many more do I have to do? And I went, yeah, start over. They're like, but he come on my property. Yeah, but you had to put your pants on and go out there and climb in the truck with them. Right? No. I'm glad I don't have that problem. As long as you don't hang around my daughter. Right? Tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Now that sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? I mean, every one of us get up and read our Bible every day, right? Or watch it on the Bible app. It sounds fairly simple. I mean, why? Yet you and I know the truth that though it's simple, it's not easy when somebody hurts you. No matter whether you hurt, come by the way of words or deeds or forgiveness, it gets difficult. Now, I try to encourage everybody, if you let somebody borrow something of yours or borrow money, expect it never to come back and to be tore up. I say, preach, that's kind of distorted thinking. You're the one that let them borrow it. With three tires and it's supposed to have four and one of them's flat. Or they go out and eat at Red Lobster, and you hadn't been able to go out and eat there in a long time, but you let them borrow the money so they could go out there. We tend to harbor that, right? I want you to listen this morning because we can get past it. You see, no matter what happens in the United States of America, Jesus is still on the throne. I mean, some of you guys on Facebook are acting like the end of the world is coming. I have people call and say, preach, how close is it till God comes? I don't know. Why would I know that? Do I look like somebody that is, I don't know, college educated? Don't answer that. I mean, I've had people call and say, "Preach, what does Revelation say?" I want to say a lot of stuff. Read it. Because some of it I don't understand. There's probably smarter people in this here and watching online than me, because I did a funeral last week. Somebody come up, shook my hand. They said, "Preach, that was amazing how you made us all understand and you didn't talk down to us." I didn't have the... Sometimes you just... taking it in, and in that little thing in the back of your mind that talks when you're thinking goes, "You need to tell her that wasn't a put on. That's the best you can do." I mean, it wasn't that I was dumbing anything down. I just did what I understood. I'm not Billy Graham. I never will be. If you're looking for him, he's somewhere in the ground. I mean, I don't know. Let's be serious for a moment. If it's your first time here, I'm glad you're here. Just bear with me. Next week, I'll get Mike to preach. But anyways, but the enemy will wind you up so tight, your anger will turn to revenge. And as a believer, we have to avoid that. You know, the enemy's distractions choose the peace and forgiveness. And Christ has shown us that. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down on your back while you're still angry. For anger gives a foothold to the devil." You remember when we talked about the gates that's opened up? Well, if you don't ever shut those gates, it gives the enemy a place to come in. One of them, when you get upset, when you get angry, it's a distraction. And it'll distract you so long that you've walked so far away from the Lord. When you turn around, you're like, "What happened?" If you are a thief, quit stealing. Isn't that easy? If you're a thief, quit. It's easy. Somebody come to me the other day and they said, "Preach, we did something bad. I'm sorry, and I don't know what to do." I said, "Did you fix it with the Lord?" They said, "Yeah." I said, "Then forget about it." They just kind of looked at me like, "Really?" I mean, if we mess up, what do you think I do when I mess up? I know y'all got a 1 to 10, right? I mean, number 10 being the worst. I still do. I mean, you can't continue to let... I mean, if you get angry, I know some of you might have got on the phone this week and said something to somebody, right? I mean, things wasn't going right. They were supposed to fix your truck, and they've played with it forever. Excuse me. I have that problem. I mean, after about 5 or 6 days. I have done that. I do it to callers all the time that call your phone that's only looking to sell you insurance. And I waited till it all come on, and then she picked up the phone and asked if I wanted insurance. And I said, "Ma'am, could you take me off this calling thing?" She said, "You don't have to be so racist." Okay, I just said, "Ma'am, take me off the call list." She did. Where'd that come from? People don't even want to hear you say, "Take me off of the list." It's offensive. My wife's watching. I know I can't see her eyes, but I know she's saying move on. But it says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Did you see that? It was funny until we said give generously to those in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Some of you on Facebook, y'all don't use the language. You type it out. I got people up here going, no, I don't. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. One gets kind of close to us. Because there's all kinds of sorrows we could talk about in the way we live. Because everything in the world says that we can live like we want to. We can be who we want to. I seen a writing the other day said, we're not supposed to call babies babies anymore. That way they're not either sex. You see, there's a lot of stuff coming, guys, and I'm not trying to be derogatory to anybody, but there's a time coming when they'll take the stickers off your truck because you can't be Ford or Chevy. And that's what they're doing in our lives. You know, how many of you believe what this Bible says? That's what we got to live by. Because obviously everything in the world, there's no truth to it. Now they're saying that the election was rigged. Whether it is or not, that doesn't matter. But when did we start being able to say, well, I don't agree? Even though we know what it is, people allow others to change their thought process. You know, and the Bible tells us that we are to go get godly counsel. And so many now are taking any kind of counsel and they're being changed to anything. Where are we? Where is it? Well, I already said that. You got the language thing, right? Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness. Now, here's some stuff we need to work on. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as types of evil behavior. I guess we now need to know the definition of unforgiveness. Because if you want to understand unforgiveness, you must first know what forgiveness is. Have you ever heard that you got to learn how to love yourself before you can love others? You got to understand how to forgive yourself before you can give it. You got to understand how to forgive someone that has wronged you, regardless. In other words, you give up desire to get even. That's a tough one. Guys, we take care of our families, right? What happens when somebody comes in and hurts one of the members of your family? How do you forgive that? How do you forgive that? I'm glad you asked. Write these three down. we can identify these elements of forgiveness. One is to give up your heart, your hurt feelings about the wrong. You ever had somebody owe you a lot of money? You ever did work for somebody that didn't pay? You ever give it? They said they'd pay it back. You ever loan somebody something and they never brought it back? Even yet, you ever loan something to somebody and they sell it on Facebook and you see it? I'm just getting where y'all are. You have to give up your hurt feelings about the wrong. You have to give up, second thing, I mean, when you walk in the room or in a building and that person's sitting there with one of your friends and you're like, you have got to be kidding me. What are they doing here? I just can't. We got to go. Third thing you have to do for retaliation. Because I know there are ones here that would stand right beside me and say, yes, I did plan on the get back. If you had to take time to think about how you was going, you might need peace. If you thought about puncturing a tire, accidentally eating at the going to the restaurant or getting your groceries. I don't know what happened, preach. My key just walked right beside me down the side of their car. I didn't mean to. I mean, it was windy that day, and I just leaned in too far. You can't make that right. You know how much you think about that all the time. You see, if you're upset at somebody or they have done something to you, did you know you think about them 10 times more than they think about you? Because most of the time, if somebody says something real hurtful to you or does something to you, they think about it about 20 minutes after you leave and you just carry it your whole life. Well, I can't go there and eat anymore because so-and-so goes there. Really? I'll go up and shake their hand and I'll probably hug them. You know why? Because I don't burn bridges anymore. I've been down that road. You know what happens when you burn bridges? You got to walk around or through the mud. And I've decided that if somebody leaves here upset at me, I'm still going to hug them. When they call back and say, are we allowed to come back to the church? Absolutely. I forgot. I had somebody the other day come up to me and say, preach. I went out and met them in the parking lot because they were sitting in their car. And they started crying. They're like, we're sorry about what we said to you. I'm like, what'd you say? But there's a lot of people that get on social media and stuff and say bad things. I'm like, well, don't tell me what it was. Obviously, I've already forgot about it. And they're like, so you don't mind if I come in the church? Well, no. I don't even remember what they said. I remember them being a little bit agitated at me, but, I mean, how many of you has been agitated with me? Don't raise your hand. I'll sick wrestle on you. Forgiveness is more than just saying some words. It has to come from your heart. Mindset to do the opposite, to resent the wrong, that person, and to seek revenge. You know, in Ephesians 4:31, Paul associates unforgiveness with bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, slander, and malice. Now, I know it's hard to wrap your mind around why anyone would choose those life-wrecking attitudes over tenderness, gentleness, and forgiveness. We are human. And in our human minds, you see, there's different levels of Christianity, right? Now, when you accept Christ, we're all in the same level there. But all of us have extra hurts, right? Does anybody here not have a hurt? I didn't think so. So we're all in different levels, right? So I don't have a problem with hurts is because I have allowed God to fix something in my heart that I didn't ask for. I allowed God to come into my life, fix all that stuff early on, and I didn't even ask for it. I understand what he was even doing at the time he was doing it. I know what unforgiveness is. I know the ultimate aspect of hurt. But I've allowed that. You see, there's not anybody that I could find or run into in this town, in Indiana, in Oklahoma, that I wouldn't walk up to and buy their dinner and go sit down and eat with them. You know why? Because I've allowed God to take that. You see, you got to understand that burning bridges are terrible because it just sets with you and it rots your bones. It's everything. Because if you will forgive whoever's done anything to you and let God take care of them, do you know how much freedom is in that? Because some of you, I don't have all the right words to say, and I don't know who's here like that. I mean, you can even use that when you lose somebody that is so close to you. Because we all have a choice. Y'all might look at me and think my life's perfect. I can bring you into my family unit with all five. I count Jill two, five. People in my family. And I can show you some of the devastating work of Satan that I didn't allow him to have. You see, I have every right. You have that person may have hurt you. That person may have run you down the road. They took something you wasn't willing to give. But it's only up to you to let them go. Because I've found out that when God takes care of somebody, he does it and you don't even have to apologize for it. Well, if I go and fix that, if I go and say, you know what, I'll cut them right at the knees. I'll make it where everybody knows what they've done. Doesn't work. If you allow God to take care of whatever's going on today, he can fix you so that you never have to go down that road again, because it is crippling. I know ones that may not be here in this town that watch on Facebook that is crippled by something that happened in their childhood or happened when they were married or happened when they had kids or something was taken from them. They allowed that to destroy their entire life. Does it get easier? No, because the devil still comes up and goes, oh, you forgot about this, but you remember when that happened? Or somebody comes up to you and goes, wow, we didn't know this was even happening. So Satan still tries to cultivate that stuff, right? I mean, he tries to kick it up. It's like Satan walks through and he's walking down the rows of a plowed field kicking clods. And each clod might represent what is in your world that is just out there. It's kind of like a zit. Okay, I got y'all were fluttering a little bit. It's kind of like having a zit right on your nose or right on your forehead or right by it. And everybody sees it. You see, it's not hard to see when somebody has unforgiveness in their heart, right? I mean, it oozes out of them. It's like a drunk. You can smell the alcohol. You're like, man, you got to try that. Let it go. I don't even know what else to say. Job at fixing the wrongs in your life. But the devil will always be there trying to kick the clod up so you can go and pick it back up and go, I forgot about what they did to me. And then it starts it all right back up. It's okay. It may look like they won forever. I wouldn't take my life today, any amount, to let the devil recultivate that stuff. My life's not perfect, but it's perfect in my eyes. My life has got some jagged edges, but it's perfect in my life. You know, I have never put parameters, right, around the church and my family and all this stuff. I've always allowed it to get in there and take time, and my wife's had to take my Mexican and put it in a to-go tray, and I didn't even get to sit down and eat. I mean, I have let the church get in there. And I about a month and a half ago, maybe, I decided that Friday nights, nobody can get in. If something happens, tragic, but I mean, as far as just day-to-day business, I've got a box around Friday nights, right? And we call them Friday night pizza nights. And they're amazing. And we get to bring all the kids, and Montgomery comes and stays with us, and I get to torment the hair right off her head. Tracy says, you're more like a big brother to her than the pap. There's been a long road to that right there. And it's still not perfect, but it's getting better every day because I have let God have the whole thing and said, God, I want it to be exactly what you want it to be, and you can take care of it. And it started getting better, better, and better. But I could have said, I don't want none of that. I want to take this in my own hands. But I chose to forgive it and move on. And I have to do it a lot. Because the old devil, he still gods. He's still letting me see or putting something in your head. You have to pray. I have to every day plead the blood of Jesus Christ on my mind. I'd say, preach, you must have got a pretty bad mind. No, mine's just like yours. The devil can get in here, he'll wreck your whole world. How about the description of unforgiveness? The description of unforgiveness. The unforgiving heart holds on to the past, refusing to give to others what our Heavenly Father has extended to us. You see, in Ephesians 4:32, it says, the apostle insists upon our forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You see, if we can't forgive others, where does that put us? As a result of the sinful attitude, certain negative consequences. But one of the greatest repercussions is that bitterness takes root in the heart. And then it spreads its poison to choke out every godly trait there is. That's why Satan does it. Because it takes one person. Heal in our life. The truth is that people choose to be unforgiving. It's a deliberate decision and self-inflicted pain. But what do? We blame it on others. This wouldn't be happening. I wouldn't have had to go back to that nasty whatever you did in your life, whatever vice you've had. If it hadn't have been for them, they're the reason it happened, and the Lord knows. No, He don't. I've had people come up to me and go, "Preach, I would love to get rid of this habit, but man, it just calms my nerves." I'm like, I want to say, what do you think I do to calm my nerves? Eat? I don't know. But we blame it on others that caused our misery. We put the handcuffs on, and it's like an acid that can... It's affecting. How many of you have gut problems when you get real wound up and nervous, and it just goes straight to your stomach? It make you sick where you got to stay home all day? Did you know you don't have to do that? Because you can't let other people dictate whether you're happy or not. As I close, the disobedience, the root of bitterness will keep you from being the person God wants you to be and prevent you from carrying out His will for your life. Has anybody in here tried to find the will, God's will for your life? I mean, you've asked Him and asked Him and asked Him and asked Him. I want you to turn around and look at all these people. What's the one thing that He told us we have to do as Christians? Love. How good are you? That might be somebody at work. How good are you at the love? Come on. How good are you at love when it comes to people that might have hurt your family? I think I'm talking to myself there. I don't know. But love's hard. The refusal to forgive is an act of pride, rebellion, deliberate disobedience. But when He taught His disciples to pray, Jesus added, this is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15. If you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you. Now, I had this scripture all wrong, and maybe you was in the same boat as I was. Because if you don't forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. I always thought that He would take your forgiving you so you can make it to heaven. That's not what it's meaning. This does not mean that a believer loses his salvation, but it does indicate God will hold him accountable and there will be discipline. We're never given the right harbor an unforgiveness spirit. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 22, Jesus teaches us that we must forgive 70 times 7, which means we must always forgive. You know, this morning as everybody bows their head, you know, the unforgiveness, it destroys us. It causes us to be somebody God never intended us to be. It causes us to let things crop up in our lives and flat destroys your thought process, makes you have to go around instead of straight through. It causes you to go places in your thought process that never was. It'll affect your prayer life and your worship will be effective. But Jesus teaches us that when we are in conflict, we're to stop even in the middle of our worship and go set matters right. Our witness, our giving, and our overall spiritual growth are terribly weakened by a heart that carries bitterness. Every aspect of your life is affected. This morning, I don't know where you are. But do you have unforgiveness in your life? This morning, before I pray, maybe you need prayer. This morning, if you don't know where you would go if God was to break the eastern skies, if you don't know where you would go if you were to leave here today and something happened that would take your life, just by raised hand, just so I can pray with you. This morning, maybe you've never asked Jesus into your heart. Anybody at all? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else? Maybe you didn't raise your hand this morning. And the ones that raised their hand, I want you to look at me. I can't see your eyes. This is the best decision of your life. Because God has already started cultivating in your heart. It's not something I did. And this prayer doesn't come to me and then to the Lord. This prayer that you pray this morning, I want you to make it yours. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, God, I thank you so much for your salvation being easy to obtain. And God, it's hard to live your life pleasing to you because we are in a fallen world. But God, as I pray, as we've had some raise their hand, Lord, I pray that you listen to their prayer. Jesus, I ask that you forgive me of my sins. Help me to live my life pleasing to you. And I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again. Please come into my heart and life. And I thank you for your free gift of salvation. If you prayed that prayer this morning, we believe that you've accepted Christ. If you go back to John 3:16, it basically says, if you believe, you can receive. If you go over to Romans 10:9, it says, confess with your mouth. Maybe there's somebody online watching today that hasn't accepted Christ. We would love to be able to get a hold of you and pray with you. Down to your box and put I accepted Christ so we can get a hold of you and be excited about what you did today. But the second part of this, maybe there's somebody here today that's got bitterness in their heart. As we pray, as we worship this last song, our altar workers come up. I want to encourage you. If you need prayer, they would love to pray with you. Because when you leave all that at the cross, you can walk out of here with the feeling of a weight being lifted off your head. Please come.
I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance. Enemies, till all my fears are gone, and I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I am a child of God. From my mother, chosen me, your love has called my name, and I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins, and I'm no longer a slave. I'm no longer a slave to fear, 'cause I child of God. God.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I thank you for delivering things that you fixed in my life. And God, I pray that you'd do the same for everybody that is here today that might have a problem in their life. God, even the ones that are watching online, Lord, we pray that you touch them today. God, let them feel that freedom that comes from just allowing you to take over in our lives. God, because bitterness so many times takes more than we ever want to give away. It can take longer and steal more from our life that we never can get back. We pray for each one here today. God, we pray that you just be with them. God, be with us, them through this time where it's cold. And God, it's not normal right now in life. God, we ask that you would uplift them, give them courage and strength through these times. God, that you would help them, the ones that are at home that would love to get out, they are trying to be safe. God, I pray that you would be with each one of us as we leave today. God, we ask these things in your name.